Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has a way of tapping into our deepest emotions with her short stories. Marcy Laycock's latest project is Christmas Short Stories to Stir the Christmas Spirit, a collection of three short stories and a novella. Marcy's on the phone with us tonight from her Black Falls, Alberta home to talk about Christmas. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to It Was a Holy Night from Christmas, the Story of Stories CDs by Carolyn Ahrens. Conversation with Marcia Laycock. Good evening, Marcia.
Good evening, Robert. Nice to be here again.
Good. Now, let's look at this collection. What led to this collection at this particular point in time?
Well, I was looking at some of the things that I have on my computer, kind of tucked away in files here and there. I've been producing small books on CreateSpace, and so I was, as we were coming up to Christmas, I thought, gee, I've probably got enough Christmas stories in my cache there to put together a small Christmas book that would make kind of just a nice stocking stuffer this season. So I started looking at some things and put together four short stories into this little book.
Okay. So what were the inspirations for the stories? Now, I'm going to talk mainly about the first three because we talked about one of them last year. But Missing Christmas, No Matter How Far. So what were the inspirations behind those particular stories?
Missing Christmas was actually a story that I wrote for a small contest. I was on a forum with a fellow who was an acquisitions editor with Bethany House down in the States, one of the big publishing companies. And he challenged us one year to write a Christmas story that really had a strong, strong sense of place. And so I started to play around with this story that was that took place in the Yukon, which is a place where I lived for about 11, 12 years. And the story came together quite quickly, and I really had a lot of fun writing it, and it actually ended up winning the contest.
Hmm. No matter how far, I mean, and that one has you know, elements of you know, the aspect of faint finality and things like that in it as well.
Right. Yeah. No matter how far, again, takes place in the north, and it's a story about, it's a Christmas story, but it's a little bit it's not your typical, you know, nice feel-good kind of Christmas story in a way. It has a little bit more of an edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that one kind of came about when I was just thinking about some things that I had experienced in the north, and thinking about some friends that I'd had there at one point, and just the different experiences that people can go through, especially in the middle of a winter in the far north, which can mm-hmm. be a very tense time and a very difficult time in some ways. And can be a very dangerous time as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're not prepared for it. So that's kind of how that story came about.
Now, the third one, An Earthly Treasure, it kind of takes a little bit of a science fiction edge to it. What led to the choice of that genre? Because I don't recall ever reading much of your or anything that you've written that has that kind of science fiction, speculative fiction side to it.
Yeah, this was a little bit of a different diversion for me. I do enjoy science fiction. I read science fiction now and then, and I enjoy the genre. I've written fantasy, but I'd never really tried writing science fiction before. And I always kind of thought, oh, the research that you'd have to do and all the scientific stuff and the technologies and all that kind of thing just kind of daunted me. So I never did go there, but this story kind of almost was downloaded in a way. It just, as I usually do, I get one scene, and this scene came to me of this man in the future on a space station standing with the creche in his hand, and that image just kind of really stuck with me. And I started to play what if, okay, mm-hmm. well, what if, what is he doing with that? And what if he doesn't understand what it is? He doesn't know what it is. And so that's where that story began.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing is you also include An Unexpected Glory, which we were talking just before the program, was a novella that you released last year. What led to you including it in this again?
Well, I've had a lot of really good reaction to this story. I almost didn't include it because it has been out there before, but it's actually not available as a novella out on Amazon or anything, so I thought it would be a good one to include in this collection. As I said, I've had a lot of people react to it. One lady even said this is destined to be a classic, which mm-hmm. was really quite a thrilling thing to hear. People just really loved the story, so I thought, well, I should include it with the collection.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you're looking at it, what is it about Christmas that you find so interesting and fascinating as a writer that makes you want to continue to write stories that are based around Christmas?
Well, I think it is one of the stories that is at the core of our faith. It's about the birth of our Savior, which is crucial to our Christian faith. So it has so many elements in it that are fantastic, that are almost beyond belief, elements that take faith to believe and to understand. So it's a really intriguing for a writer. It's an intriguing thing to think about. It's an intriguing thing to kind of put different twists on this story, because it is a story that is so well known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really a challenge to write something that's new and fresh, and something that brings the story to life again. So it's, in a way, it's the challenge, I think, that really intrigues me and keeps me wanting to do it.
Yeah, and there's so many different ways of doing it. I mean, last year we had Jason Hildebrand talking about a radio play that he did that was based on a short story that he wrote. And so there's so many different ways and so many different elements that you can pull from the Christmas story and create out of that. Well, what I want to do is take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with author Marcy Laycock. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Well, Caesar's wish was their command. What a long way to go. A census down in
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Long Way to Go from the Christmas Story of Stories CD by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and as a Christmas treat for our listeners, Marcy is going to read from An Unexpected Glory, read an excerpt from Unexpected Glory, which is featured in her Christmas short stories to stir the Christmas spirit. Go ahead, Marcy.
An Unexpected Glory. The call came early in the morning. I sat stunned silence as Linda told me we would have to cancel our main fundraiser, scheduled to happen that night, 8 days before Christmas. But we can't cancel now. We've sold over 300 tickets. Even the mayor is coming. I'm really sorry, Pastor Steve. There's nothing we can do. Two kids have come down with measles, and some of the adults are showing symptoms. We're quarantined. Measles? I didn't think that existed anymore. Apparently, it's trying for a comeback. What about the orchestra? Can we at least still get the orchestra to come? I'm sorry, no. The orchestra was with us for our last rehearsal. The public health people have quarantined us until the incubation period is over. I groaned into the phone. God, this can't be happening. I'm truly sorry, Linda said again, but I'm sure everything will be on track for next year. Next year? What about this year? What about tonight? Thank you for letting me know. I knew my voice sounded morose, but I couldn't keep my despair from showing. I hung up and put my head in my hands. I'd been running New Life Shelter for Men for the past 10 years, and we'd always had tremendous success with the Christmas pageant. Five churches banded together to perform a pageant that was a spectacle to behold. It was the highlight of the Christmas season for the whole city. Everyone expected it to be on the eighth day before Christmas. Everyone expected it to be amazing. It was also our main fundraiser. Without the pageant, we would be in danger of having to close our doors. Trouble, boss? I lifted my head to see Stanley standing in the doorway, his shaggy red head cocked to one side. I'm afraid so, Stanley. Big trouble. He stepped closer. What's up? We have to cancel the pageant. What? We can't. It's tonight, and we've sold every ticket. I shook my head. Linda Thomas just called. A bunch of their kids have measles. Everyone else is under quarantine. The orchestra from Grace Community, too. I held out my hands, palms up. We have nothing. Stanley slumped into the chair opposite my desk. He stared at his scuffed work boots for a while. Then he straightened, and his head came up. Not true, boss, he said. I frowned. We've got everything we need, right here. The residents. Yep, yep, the residents can do it. I shook my head. Stanley, he stood up, his shaggy head nodding. Most of them have seen it a gazillion times. They have the lines in their heads. Yep, yep, all we have to do is get them going. I grinned at my unflappable assistant. Stanley had once been a resident here, a man down on his luck trying to find the solution to his pain in a bottle of cheap wine. He'd started coming for the free meals, started listening to the messages I preached about the love of Jesus, and slowly began a long road to recovery. He'd been my right-hand man for 5 years, and aside from a mildly annoying habit of saying yep, yep a lot, he was always a welcome help. I couldn't run the place without him. He stood before me now with such hope in his eyes, I almost believed what he suggested was possible. But I shook my head. Maybe if we had a month or two, but it's supposed to happen tonight, Stanley. There's no way we can pull this together in one day. Stanley's eyes clouded for a minute. We have to, boss. We have to. He was right. The alternative was unthinkable. My head sank into my hands again. Stanley chuckled, making my head jerk up. We've seen miracles here before. Maybe this is just another opportunity for God to show us how much he loves us. You always say that's what he's all about, right? I couldn't help but grin at him again. Then faces started flowing through my head, as though they were stored on some kind of mental database. The faces of all the men who depended on us to feed them and give them a warm bed and a chance to get their lives back. Some of the faces started to appear with headdresses on them. The three wise men, Herod and Joseph. Charlie One Note appeared with a white halo around him. I let out a loud guffaw at that. Really, Lord? Really? Stanley was leaning toward me, his eyebrows raised expectantly. I took a deep breath and glanced at the clock on the wall. 7:30. Breakfast would be served in half an hour. We'll have to recruit them at breakfast, I said. Stanley leaped in the air and clapped his hands together. How many? I went down the list of characters in my mind. 10, at least. I frowned. Do you think we can find 10, able and willing to do it? Let's go find out. He turned for the door. Stanley, he turned back to me. Like you said, this is going to take a miracle, so maybe we should start with prayer. Yep, yep, you got it, boss. You pray, and I'll recruit. He strode through the door as though he were going on stage himself. Another face suddenly appeared in my mind, with Joseph's striped towel around his head. I laughed out loud again, then knelt beside my desk to pray. I joined Stanley in the dining hall a few minutes later. He waved a sheet of paper at me. 15 names so far, he said. The gleam in his eyes was infectious. Really? I scanned the list. Well, I sort of told them if they signed up, they could stay inside all day. They'd have to anyways, right, to rehearse? I sighed. One of our strict rules was that the men had to leave right after breakfast to look for work in the community. They were allowed back in for the noon meal, but had to leave again until 5 in the evening. On cold days like this, they usually grumbled about having to leave, and I usually felt guilty. but it was the rule. But not today. Right, I said. It's going to take all day to get them organized. Not to mention a major miracle, I thought. Millie said she'd check on the costumes. Millie was our kitchen supervisor, a 60-something woman whose head barely reached to my shoulders, but who had the energy of the ever-ready bunny. I knew I could count on her. I tossed up a prayer that there would be no snag with the costumes. They were professionally made by a local theater company and one of the big attractions of the performance. We had to have the costumes. I glanced again at the list Stanley had given me. I guess I was frowning because he clapped me on the back like a football coach. It's going to be grand, boss. You'll see. I watched the men lining up for their breakfast. Most of them were dressed in grubby clothes. Some looked like they were living in a perpetual state of hangover. A few more wore stocking caps on their heads, and I knew it was to hide the stringy hair underneath. Maybe grand wasn't the right word, but I began to feel that maybe we could pull it off. I just hoped the people attending wouldn't be so disappointed at not getting the usual performance that their generosity would be affected. We needed that offering desperately. I took a deep breath and went into the kitchen. Millie was busy keeping her volunteers moving, but I stepped up behind her. Can you check on the costumes as soon as breakfast is over, Millie? She tossed me a look over her shoulder that said, go away and don't bug me, but then she smiled and nodded. Just don't ask me to be Mary. Mary? Oh, Lord, where were we going to find a Mary? I guess I had a pleading look in my eyes because Millie turned to face me and spread her arms. Seriously, Pastor Steve, you weren't thinking. I shook my head. No, truth is, I wasn't thinking at all. I have no idea what to do about a Mary. I'll get on the phone and call a couple of my volunteers. I'm sure I can find someone, Millie said. I let out a sigh and nodded. Let me know as soon as you do. I returned to my office and started searching on the computer for Christmas pageant scripts. There were a lot of them, and it took me a while to find something I thought might work, something really simple. I'd just finished printing off copies when Stanley showed up in the doorway again. Any idea where the backdrop is, boss? Backdrop? You mean the blue curtain? Yeah, I can't seem to find it. I frowned. Should be in a bag in the back storage room. Stanley shook his head. Nope, look there. Maybe it got put under the stage? We both headed for the gymnasium where the performance would be held. Our building had once been a school. The gym was still full of cots and sleeping mats, but tonight it would be transformed. At least, I hoped it would. The curtain we were looking for had been used for several. It was huge and heavy, a dark blue velvet that made an elegant backdrop for the pageant. Stanley opened the storage area under the stage and crawled in with a flashlight. I waited impatiently. Got it, he hollered. Then exited the compartment backwards, bent over and dragging the huge drapery. I frowned again. It should have been folded carefully, wrapped in plastic, and stored in a better place. As Stanley dragged it out after him, I groaned. It was covered in dust, and worse, full of holes. Stanley poked his finger through one of them. Looks like the mice got at it. He pulled at the material, spreading it out on the floor. But it's not too bad. We can mend it. Mend it? When are we going to get time to mend it? I stared at the curtain. My optimism was hitting bottom again. Stanley chewed his lip. Then his head snapped up. Stars, he said. Stars? Yep, we can get some of the guys cutting out cardboard stars and covering them with tinfoil. Yep, when we just attach them over the holes. I sighed and started to fold the curtain. Okay, Stanley, go recruit some star cutters. He grinned and strode off with purpose in his step. I hefted the curtain and dragged it up onto the stage. Tinfoil stars. Well, maybe it would work, but again, it wouldn't be anything like what the audience was expecting. A nervous flip in my stomach made me say another prayer. It was a short one. Lord, please help.
And that was Marcy Laycock reading from her short story, An Unexpected Gift. Marcy, thank you. And after this final break, we'll come back and finish our conversation with Marcy Laycock. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Everything Changes at Christmas from Carolyn Aaron's Christmas, the Story of Story CDs. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Marcia Laycock. Marcia, just quickly, Christmas Short Stories to Stir the Christmas Spirit has been available for a little while. What's been the reaction so far?
It's been really positive, Robert. A lot of people are just delighted to have something small that they can tuck into a Christmas stocking, and people have been reading it. A lady picked it up at our church the other day, and I had to go and remind her that she probably should put it away when the sermon started. people have been reacting very positively to it.
And how can people find out more about that?
They can contact me directly through my website, or just email me at vinemark@telus.net. That's V-I-N-E-M-A-R-C @telus.net. Or they can just go to Amazon.ca, and they can order either a paperback copy or an e-book copy of the book.
Great. Marcia, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Marcia Laycock. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.